Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, you ready, Brian?
Let's do it.
All right, welcome to the Jones Zone, our podcast. This is episode 27.
27.
How are you doing, Brian?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, man. Good. What you been up to today?
What have you been up to today?
Millie's sick, so I had to deal with... Millie's my daughter. I had to spend and I had to snuggle with her.
So you're snuggling with her while I'm out making deals and closing deals and making the money.
You know, somebody's got to do it, and more often than not, it's you, so you get stuck with that. So,
I got a question before we get started.
Yeah.
Did Millie watch The Goonies?
Yeah, she's watched it.
Was she scared of it?
No.
Okay, good, because Brenna's going to watch it today. She's excited. I was wearing my Chunk shirt yesterday.
Yeah.
And she's like, who is that? I was like, this is Chunk. What's he say? I was like, well, he says a lot of things. I said, but he does the truffle shuffle. So I did the truffle shuffle for her. She was cracking up.
This is why she's in the bathtub, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw your Snapchat, BPJones03.
Yes.
And you guys were in there goofing around, so that's cool. No, she wasn't scared of it. You're worried about Sloth?
I'm worried about Sloth, but I planted the seed. I was like, he looks different, but he's really nice.
Yeah, you can't judge someone by their looks.
Yeah, so I was like, and she's like, this morning, because this was last night, and this morning she's like, but he's really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah.
So his mom dropped him out of the crib a couple times. Big deal.
Have you seen
Rocky Road? I'm very familiar.
Yeah. Rocky Road? He loves it, man. All right, we're here with Eric Smart. Eric is a serial entrepreneur. He's done consulting, investment banking. He's owned a gym. He owns some real estate companies. He's a broker in town. He does real estate investing as well. And he is the owner of Charlotte Resurfacing, which is what we're going to talk mainly about today. Charlotte Resurfacing, they specialize in remodeling kitchens and bathrooms through a technique where they use acrylic urethane coating
and Chris, you can't spell granite. Acrylic urethane.
So? You don't have to spell it to say it, brother. Eric, welcome, man.
Thanks,
good,
man.
It's good to be here, guys. Good to have you.
So that was a real quick, vague introduction. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started with doing all the things that you're doing and what brought you to Charlotte Resurfacing?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, born and raised in Ohio and came down to Charlotte in 2002 for some sunshine.
Yeah.
And I've started and run several businesses since I've been here. Got into business when I was in college. I bought and sold a gym and then got into brokering the sale of companies for other people as a result of that experience.
So, what part of Ohio?
Northeast Ohio. It's called small town called Uniontown, which is between Akron and Canton.
Is that near Logan, Ohio?
I don't even know where Logan's at.
I got a buddy that lived in Logan. We have a lot of Ohio and Pennsylvania transplants.
Tons. Yeah. The weather stinks. You know, it's far better down here.
Yeah. Okay, so you owned a gym, and that's how you got started in
real estate. You were a junior in college when you bought this gym.
Correct. Yeah, so I worked out there, and a friend of mine, it turned out the gym was losing money. They were about to go out of business, and a friend of mine said, well, why don't we buy it? I had no money. I was living in my parents' basement, put myself through college, so I didn't know how that would be achieved. And we were young and dumb and full of energy, and we figured out a way to come up with some money to buy it and made it profitable.
Did you get some investors or something?
No.
No,
all wow. Self-funded bank loans. My partner had a little bit of money.
Nice.
He was a day trader at the age of 19. So
I day trade attention.
Like a little Gary Vaynerchuk action there.
Yeah, so we bought it, turned it around, made it profitable in 6 months, and sold it after 13 months of ownership and made a 450% return on investment.
Nice.
Figured that's what I'd do my whole life. And it's not exactly what I've done my whole life, but I've bought and sold a couple companies and started Charlotte Resurfacing here recently.
Cool, man.
Excellent, cool. So what does Charlotte resurfacing do? Thanks for letting me get that question out, Brian, before you interrupted like last time.
You guys have a great dynamic.
Talk about interrupting.
I was right in the middle of the question, and you just went, bam, right? You're...
Well, you never let me speak. Right. You dominate the questions.
Sorry.
And then you get all the, oh, that's a fascinating question. Great question, Chris. Not once during this podcast has anyone said, nice question, Brian. It's always great question, Chris.
Well, to your credit, Brian, you're the one that found me and brought me in
here. Right, that's right.
And I'm just now meeting Chris. So you have some value that you bring.
That's right. I have all my minions out there bringing in the people, and then I handle it from there, Brian. Just kidding.
And Chris has acknowledged you're the one doing all the deals.
Yeah. Jeez, take it easy, would you? So tell us about Charlotte Resurfacing, man. What do you guys do?
Yeah, so I'm a real estate investor, and about 2 years ago, my business partner in Charlotte Resurfacing introduced me to the idea of resurfacing bathtubs and countertops and ceramic tile rather than ripping it out and replacing it. And I got to admit, I was a total snob at first. Then I said, so I've seen tubs that peel, and I have no interest in getting to a business that does that. Took him 9 months to convince me to actually take a look at a job that he was doing, and I fell in love with it because I'm embarrassed at the number of cast iron tubs that I've ripped out throughout my career. And it's just a far more cost-effective methodology of bringing value to the two most important homes, rooms in the home. As a broker, you know that kitchens and baths is what sells homes, so that's what we make pretty to help people sell their homes.
So it's an interesting process. Rather than just ripping it out and replacing it with something new, you guys give it a whole new look.
Yeah, so it's a green practice because you're not demoing a bunch of stuff and throwing it into a landfill. And it's cost effective because you don't have demo cost or reinstallation cost. And it's fast. So homeowners that want to redo a kitchen or bath, we can accomplish that in half a day to a day, depending on the size of the job. And it's simply... prepping the surface, so it's several different chemicals that are applied to clean it and etch it and prepare it for a primer to adhere, and then we spray it with an epoxy primer coating, and then it gets an acrylic urethane top coat, and depending on what the surface is and whether it's supposed to be shiny or dull, it may get several clear coats on top of that. But it's a pretty cool process.
I watched the videos, you guys. So you come in, you tape the room with plastic so nothing else gets sprayed, for lack of a better term, right?
Absolutely.
And then how long does the process actually take, though, for someone to do a couple counters in the kitchen? How long is that? Gotta leave the house for a few days or what?
No, they gotta leave the house while we're spraying because we're wearing respirators. They don't want to be breathing this stuff in.
I was gonna ask that question.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it'll stink for a couple hours after we're completed, but we open up windows and ventilate and, you know, burn some candles. You'll get rid of the smell in a couple hours. You're using the surface 24 hours after we're completed. Okay. So it's a 24-hour cure process, and then it's ready to go.
How long does it last? Is someone going to say, you know, I'm not going to spend $300 if I got to do it every 6 months? I mean, how long is this stuff good for?
Yeah, so it depends on how you care for it, just like a bathtub. If your bathtub got messed up over the years, that's based on how it's been cared for and worn. It's going to last for many years. And then it's going to be dependent upon care. So as long as you're not using bleach or abrasive product like the Ajax stuff with that's real rough that you're
scrubbing. Brillo pads.
Yeah. And what's the Comet stuff that is a powder?
Yeah, Comet and Ajax.
Nothing real abrasive. Nothing like that. If you wouldn't put it on your car to wash your car, don't put it on your tub. I mean, this is an acrylic urethane that it will hold up to a lot of stuff. But if you're just using 401 scrubbing bubbles, you know, 10, 20, 30 years use out of this thing.
That's got to be a huge return on investment.
Absolutely, yeah. So to rip out a tub and replace it, you're rarely going to rip out a tub where you don't have subfloor to replace, or you're going to have collateral damage of tile or flooring that you're damaging as you're pulling this stuff out. So the average bathroom remodel in the United States is over $8,000. A tub to resurface and make look new is $300. If there's any chipping or cracking, we can address that as well, and there's a small upcharge for that.
Okay, so you guys what do you have to do? Seal the crack first and then
Yeah, so we'll sand it down, make it flush, and then fill it with a polyester fill. The thing that you might be able to assimilate it to is like if you dent your car and you use Bondo on it to fill that dent, we're using something similar to a Bondo, but Bondo will get brittle and dry and crack over the years. So we use a polyester filler, so polyester-like material, so it has flex so that it will not crack over the years. And then you're covering that with the epoxy primer and then hitting it with your acrylic urethane top coat. And you'll never know that that cracker chip was there.
How did you guys stumble upon this process? Like what, because it's this is going to be new to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's going to sound, it's not going to sound too good to be true. I'm not going to go that far, but it's people are going to be like, what?
People are used to spending $8,000. Yeah.
So how did you guys stumble upon this and what prompted you guys to start this business and go for it using these techniques?
Yeah, so I thought it was too good to be true, and that's why it took my business partner 9 months to convince me to actually look at this thing.
Yeah.
He took a job doing it and was at a company that wasn't necessarily doing it all that well, and that's how I knew of it, was that this technology has existed over 30 years. It's primarily been in the Northeast that people down here from New York, New Jersey, Boston, they've heard of it because they're in an older market that has a lot more renovation going on. You know, the Charlotte area has got a lot of newer homes, so you don't have this need. And they're in a higher price point for both the construction costs and to buy the house. So there's less discretionary income available to actually do renovations. So there was more of a need many, many years ago. The technology has just advanced such to where it'll hold for 20, 30 years in the last decade. My familiarity with it as a real estate investor was the Home Depot or Lowe's or big box product that they sell where a homeowner can do it themselves.
Yeah.
And that stuff lasts for 6 months to a year, maybe 2 years, and then you got to strip the entire process off. So that was my familiarity with it and why I had hesitancy at even looking at it. But my business partner articulated it to me like this. He comes from the automotive business. I brokered the sale of his automotive business 14 years ago, which is how I met him. And he said, "You ever seen a Mako paint job?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You ever seen a show car paint job?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, what's the difference?" Prep and paint. That's the difference with ours. Prep and paint. I mean, stuff we're buying and we're applying on there, it's $80 to $120 a gallon. You know, so it's an expensive paint. And then the prep, it's just the more love you give that tub or countertop prior to actually applying it, the better it's going to look. So we love on our product.
So this is popular in the investing world, but can the average homeowner, someone just looking to for a change, they can get in on this too, right?
Absolutely. It's actually better for the average homeowner because they don't have the access to the same level of contractors and the same pricing that the homeowner does. It's just we don't really market to the homeowner because we don't spend any money on marketing advertising costs. And being a real estate investor, I attend all the real estate investor functions. So it's my network. I've known these people since 2007. So it was easy to get the foot in the door. And then all of our homeowner business comes from like nextdoor.com or Facebook or doing podcasts with a couple guys like you. Yeah, hopefully that helps. That's an area of the business that we'd love to expand into. The homeowner can benefit even greater than the typical investor because the investor's got a non-occupied property.
Yeah.
So the sense of urgency of getting that done and completed within a day isn't as great as the person that's got a family and can't give up their bathroom or kitchen for weeks on end.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever lived in a house that's being renovated, it's no picnic to, or quite literally you're having picnics if you're having your kitchen renovated for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Do you guys do, what else in the kitchen can you do? Is it just the countertops?
So we can spray any surface, but I only really market ceramic tile, countertops, so we can do backsplashes. Yeah. So some laminate countertops like this table here, you don't have an actual backsplash and you've got nothing but sheetrock and then paint. And so when you're washing dishes, that'll splatter up on the paint. And then eventually if it gets through to the sheetrock, you're damaging that sheetrock. Well, we can spray this acrylic urethane right over the sheetrock, and if we're doing the laminate, take it right up into the backsplash, and it'll look like it's a faux granite that's got speckles. It looks like a natural stone. So it'll look like you have a granite backsplash. And if we're doing the countertop too, I mean, you're talking less than a couple $100 to add the backsplash in there.
That's amazing, man. Good stuff.
So I have a backsplash. Well, I don't have backsplash in my house, but I have a... Are you familiar with orange peel? Yeah. Type, like, do you guys put backsplash over orange peel? Do you sand it down or?
Wait, I thought orange peel was what happens to paint. What it was the
no, finish? Well, it was supposed to be. It's like a texture of the wall. It's like not almost like pop. I don't want to say popcorn sealant, but it's a weird
spec. Yeah, they use it in like a commercial application a lot. It's to hide bad paint, mask line or the sheetrock work a lot of the times that they're adding that texture. Well, now they're doing it in higher end homes too because there's an appeal to the actual look. Yes, it doesn't matter what the texture of the surface is, we can certainly apply to it.
Cool.
It's just whatever the texture is going to show through. Like when we resurface ceramic tile, you've got grout lines. We're not filling those grout lines in. You'll still see the grout lines, but the acrylic urethane will coat both the tile and the grout. So same thing with that orange peel, as you're mentioning. It will still have that texture to it.
Yeah.
So, right on. Yeah.
So that's all.
Very much like a popcorn.
Yeah, exactly.
But not just tacky. It's kind of cool.
So that's what we have in our house. In our kitchen as well, so...
Yeah, the original intent of that was sheetrockers doing bad paint tape lines.
That's great to know.
So it hides that. Yeah. It hides that. But no, it's had a growing appeal to it. And and when you do that, some of the paint jobs, it actually adds to the structural integrity because that product back there is harder than your typical sheetrock and paint.
Do you guys do anything with popcorn ceilings at all? Or?
I scrape them or cover them in my own homes, but I don't do that with Charlotte surfacing. Okay. That works a pain in the butt.
Yeah. That is, man. I mean, people, we had ours done, and it was just, I mean, there's you're finding dust for months in random places.
Absolutely. A little secret is, so a lot of times, I will just cover it up. I'll buy 1/8-inch sheetrock and just put it right over top.
Interesting.
So real thin and just skim it, and then go and do your tape lines, and that way you can avoid scraping it. Because a lot of that stuff, if it's a house prior to, what is it, 72 or whatever, 75, 78.
LBP, lead-based paint?
Lead-based paint and asbestos. They've got asbestos in popcorn.
Oh.
So you don't want to mess with that. Oh, so okay. I just skim coat it.
Yeah, I didn't think about asbestos.
Ugh. Yeah.
Coming from the ceiling, asbestos. That's actually in a song.
That you wrote.
That I wrote and performed.
Currently, right now on the spot.
It's on iTunes.
I really like the idea of not just the money, but the time that you guys are giving back to these homeowners with the remodeling project. Because we had our kitchen remodeled. I mean, dude, it was like a week-long thing. We had to eat out every day because of it. It was just so inconvenient. But if I had someone getting in there and getting it done in the same day and I could use it and I was back in there within 24 hours, not to mention it probably would have been a fifth of the cost, maybe.
It's a fraction.
Amazing, man. I can't wait to share your business with our buyers and sellers and real estate partners, man. I think it's going to be a hit.
Yeah, sure. You guys are the ones really helping us grow the business outside of the investor world. Brokers are inviting us in for their staff meetings that they do weekly or monthly and having us introduce it to their brokers, and then property management firms that are having turns with tenants in and out. And that property can't sit vacant because they're not collecting rent.
Mm-hmm.
So they want a quick turn. So we're a really good solution for that. Brokers love us because when they're pitching to their prospective listing client and saying, hey, I could get you more money for this house if you just fix up this bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, well, I don't want to put in $8,000 to get five back. Well, we're one of the only full return on investments that you could do for a house. I mean, a dollar you're spending for our stuff, you're normally getting $3, $4, $5 back.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So we had an appraiser come in, and like you would assume, he said the best return on your investment when you're selling your house is improvements. We were talking about home improvements, and he said the kitchen, the bathroom, and then he threw in maybe like an outdoor deck, patio type of area. So as an investor, as a broker, and as someone who has skin in the game with Charlotte Resurfacing, what are your opinions on those being the projects that you tackle first?
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. A lot of my investor customers, so some of them I've never met, I get a text from someone saying, hey, this is Joe. I got your name from Jeff. Here's an address and a lockbox code. Go out there. And they don't even necessarily tell me what the room is. They just say, go out there and check it out.
With your Charlotte Resurfacing hat on?
Yeah, with the Charlotte Resurfacing hat. So I'll go out, look, open the house up, and go in there, and I'll just give them an itemized quote. Yeah. Very detailed, saying, hey, I'd hit this bathtub that's got some chips in it, or it's just dull, Or here's a fiberglass shower that's been here for the last 30 years and it's gotten yellow over time, which I'm sure you've seen. A white mm-hmm. shower that is fiberglass turns yellow. So I'd recommend spraying that. And your laminate countertops look pretty beat up. So we can address that. And I'll just give them an itemized quote, and it's just like choosing off a menu. How hungry are you today?
Yeah.
You want this, this, or this, or all of it.
So you can do the countertops in the bathroom too. I know it sounds like a silly question, but
yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the bathrooms aren't the laminate. They'll have that cultured marble look, but it's really an acrylic. And it's plastic, and it's a sink and countertop all in one. It's relatively expensive to replace that thing. And for a couple $100, $300, $400, depending on the size of it, we spray the whole thing, make it all look like a faux granite.
What else we got? Do you guys have any sort of showrooms, or do you guys...
We have samples that we carry, and we do a lot of... We are a vendor sponsor of the Metro Atlanta RIA, so we have a vendor booth that we set up. So we've got a little baby bathtub that we take into real estate companies that...
Oh, nice.
it's super cute.
Anybody got a dog that needs washing, or a little pig or something?
Yeah, exactly. I've actually had people try to buy it off of me to wash their dogs.
So yeah, they have to do it in their sink. That was the first thing that popped into my mind. So.
And we've got a little countertop that's like the size of this table that we carry around. But we've got samples of different colors. But everything is in the house. I mean, I don't want to be stuck to a showroom. I'm out quoting jobs all the time and doing other things, selling companies and things. So I don't want to do a retail business. And customers want to actually see it in their home anyway. Mm-hmm. So we can bring a sample and lay it on their countertop and actually show them what it's going to look like right there.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool, man. So we do a lot of interviews with entrepreneurs and local businesses and business owners. And I was wondering if we could pick your brain about your life as an entrepreneur, man. It's you've been doing it for, I don't know, at least one decade. I don't know how old you are, but...
He's 40. Born in 77, so he's 40.
I'll be 40 this year. Yeah.
So you've been doing it since you were 21.
21, yeah.
So 19 years.
I mean, I was mowing lawns and things when I was like 15, entrepreneur.
Yeah,
but, you know, don't tell the IRS. I think I was collecting cash.
Cash. I pay my lawn guy. He's got a business. I'm sure it's like an LLC. I'll just give him cash too. He's a great kid. I say kid, but he's probably like 21 by now. But so just like what all have you done, and what are some tips that you can give to other entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so Charlotte Resurfacing is I believe the 13th LLC that I've owned throughout my career, and I think the thing that I've learned in all the business I've had, so the one that was the most lucrative is brokering the sale of companies. When I sell a $20 or $30 million company, that commission check is large, but people talk about Babe Ruth being the best home run hitter ever, but no one talks about how many strikeouts he had.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that comes with swinging for the fences all the time. So broken the sale of companies can be sexy to talk about at the dinner table relative to scrubbing a tub.
Yeah.
But that steady cash flow is what I would highly recommend to any entrepreneur. Look for that steady Eddie. I've come in my age comes wisdom, and I'm realizing that there's a reason in that story of the tortoise and the hare, that the tortoise always won the race. I've spent too much of my career being the hare and being distracted by shiny things.
Shiny object, yep. Object syndrome, they call it.
So establishing cash flow. And as an investor, a lot of people call themselves investors, flipping houses, and that's a job, just like many of us have. That's a job. And that's not investing is putting your money into something where you can passively create income. So if you want to be a real estate investor, you need to hold some properties for rental. So any kind of business or investment that brings passive income where you don't have to get out of bed every day to collect income.
And that's the true gateway to wealth, is creating money while you're sleeping, earning money while you're sleeping.
Absolutely.
Read that somewhere. I don't know from experience or anything.
Yeah. Well, if you could give me a list of all the books that you're reading, that sounds like some really good advice.
Yes.
I would agree.
So what do you do for getting educated? You're just the School of Hard Knocks, or do you read? Or, I mean, do you guys go to seminars? And what do you do for kind of personal growth and professional growth?
So I read a lot. I got a couple college degrees, but I've learned far more actually doing than...
Don't get me started on college.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great way to learn to think, but it doesn't really teach you a whole lot of applicable knowledge. The applicable knowledge is actually doing it. So I don't go to a lot of seminars where you're paying for information. I got a friend in the real estate business that calls himself the Duru because he's not your guru, and I kind of dig that. And I actually think Alexander told you guys to hook up with him. You need to have him in here.
Who's
Nasser? He does some real estate wholesaling and some flipping of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He used to have a YouTube page where he did what you guys are doing, and he's out there actually doing business now and not talking about it as much, but he got a lot of following from that. And I have a lot of respect from that perspective, is a lot of the people spending a lot of time teaching aren't actually doing. Mm-hmm. So I don't really pay a lot of money for people that are professional teachers. I do buy a lot of books from professional authors. And I am currently adhering to a strategy by the author Darren Hardy.
Oh, yeah.
Living Your Best Year Ever.
Okay.
Which is a journaling program where you journal you pick out your top three goals for the year, you break it down to a monthly thing.
Alexander, we had lunch with yesterday. He's big into journaling. He showed us his journal with all his goals and everything lined up.
Yeah, well, so being the hair that chased shiny things, I never took the time to actually do that, and I'm truly living my best year ever from many perspectives, because I'm accountable not only to that book, but I'm accountable to my fiance who's doing it as well, and then I've got an accountability partner who actually introduced me to the book that every Friday at 9:30 a.m., no matter what, we're having a conversation about what our wins and losses were for that week.
What's that?
For the journaling for the Living Your Best Year Ever?
Oh, no. What book do you talk about every Friday at 9:30? Or just like...
No, we're going over our wins and losses from our journal process.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he introduced me to the book, said, hey, I want you to do it because I've had it sitting on my desk for the last 3 years and it's collecting dust. I need an accountability partner. And so not only do I want to check off the things off my list to do that week for me, but I want to do it for him because it helps motivate him as he helps motivate me. And you know, iron sharpens iron. So yeah, surround yourself with smart, aggressive people that are out there going to do things.
He's the compound effect, right? Darren Hardy?
Yes. That was the first book of his that I read.
That's good, too.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah. I listened to that on Audible.
So I know you got some land in Fort Mill for sale, right? Why don't you talk about what you got going on there?
Yeah, so I'm brokering the sale of an existing business in Fort Mill. It's a confidential sale, so I can't put a sign out front and say, hey, everybody, this is available. However, it's in a highly sought-after area with a lot of development going to be happening immediately around it. So I'm looking to meet some more real estate developers that are doing mixed use properties, commercial guys that are doing strip malls, apartment complex construction, things of that nature, because I think that the highest and best use of the land is not currently being taken advantage of. But if someone wants an existing business doing exactly what he's doing in that area, it might be a good fit for that as well.
Do you know which side of town is it? Are you allowed to say where it is?
So I can say it's over by the Dobie Bridge extension, the new construction there.
Oh, that is a good spot. No, I'm just kidding. For those people watching.
All right, cool, man. Well, let's tell people how to get in touch with you. CharlotteResurfacing.com.
Yes.
That's easy enough. What's your email address?
Eric, E-R-I-C, at CharlotteResurfacing.com. We've also got a Facebook page. Go out and like my Facebook page.
All right. And then phone number, are you comfortable giving that out, or is that just hit you up on email?
Yeah, no. Either way, I don't even know the office phone number. I can look
that up. Get it on your card?
So 704-565-9871.
All right, man. Awesome. I appreciate you coming on, Brian.
Yes, yes. Oh, I'm looking at the Facebook pictures.
They have some amazing before and after. Oh. And what's cool is they have a lot of videos, too. So if you go to their website, they have a bunch of before and afters. They have testimonials, all sorts of neat stuff. How they do it. It shows, like I mentioned earlier, the video about how they plastic everything off.
Man, I can't wait to sell my house and have you guys cool come in stuff, and fix it up. Man.
Very cool. Well, thanks for coming, Eric. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
Good seeing you again, Eric.
Good luck, man. I hope to do a lot of business with you. So we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.